Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. This is the, well, a couple more weeks, I'm going to have a real studio. Woo-hoo! No more echo, no more echo, no more echo, no more echo. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, but most importantly, a student, an ongoing student. A student of what, Rebecca? Of what? This thing called happiness, this thing that is programmed to respect that, this thing that a lot of people, not everybody, are searching for, looking for. And the good news is about this, the good news is happiness is a practice skill, just like any other skill, from being an athlete. Hey, shout out to the Super Bowl today. Being an athlete, a musician, an actor, a speaker, a writer, a painter, maintenance, a waiter, all of it, all of these professions are all practices. And that's the good news, because if I can do it, you can do it. And how long have I been practicing? Well, don't tell anybody, please. Don't tell a soul. 45 years of this. When I was younger, I wished for two things. You know, when you blow the candles out on your birthday cake, I wanted to live to my potential. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what it would look like. I just said, I want to live to my potential. And the second thing I wished for is I wanted to be happy. And there is a very famous study. It's called The Five Most Common Regrets of the Dying, done by a hospice nurse, Bronnie Ware. And anything that I say, you can Google it. Bronnie, B-R-O-N-N-I-E, B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware, W-A-R-E. The five most common regrets of the dying. And guess what? The fifth most common regret of people that are getting ready to check out is I wish I would have been happier. I tell the story before the famous slap heard around the world, Will Smith was interviewed in GQ magazine. It was November of 2021. And he said, I have everything. I have connections, I have money, I have fame, wealth. At the time he said, loving family. And guess what? He said, but I'm not happy. And he actually traveled to, I don't know, he traveled searching for his happiness, all of these retreats. But see, the thing is, the program is that happiness is found out there. No, happiness is found within. Happiness is an internal job. You cannot find it out there. Oh, you may, whoever wins the Super Bowl today, yes, they're going to be ecstatic, yes, they're going to be happy, overwhelmed, overjoyed. But how many interviews have you heard of people, I just won the Super Bowl, and then now I want to, and now I'm miserable. In fact, Deion Sanders shares that story all the time about how miserable he was after he won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is still dissatisfied with 7 rings. Michael Jordan is dissatisfied with 6 NBA championships. So this show is about what I share is how to maintain and sustain this thing called happiness. And let me be very clear. I'm not talking about something happens. I'm talking about a foundation, a foundational rooted vibration, personal vibration and energy. You can feel the difference. You can feel the difference when you, in fact, you're in a different state, a different form, not form, water, from ice to water to steam, vapor. You can feel those. You can feel that in your body. So the practice is to get to that water and vapor stage and maintain it. And it is possible. When I say happiness is a practice skill, guess what? The book that's going to be out, oh, it's coming out, la, 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 la. Probably, give me a month, maybe at the most 2 months, only because I've got to have it formatted, book cover. You know all you authors out there, so it has to be completed. But I'm up to 55 program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. And when I say happiness, I'm talking about an internal vibration energy of contentment. Everybody knows how that feels. Sometimes people don't like the word happy. I'm particularly not a fan of the word joy. Oh, it's not happy, it's joy. It's forget the words. It's an energy that you can feel. It's an energy that doesn't leave. It's an energy that takes practice. And that's why I'm here. I'm not pretending to know everything, but after 45 years of studying this shit, yeah, I can say this on my show. I've got some answers. And one of the most, if you are to give me a compliment, if you are, it is simply, Rebecca, I never thought about it like that. It's just a shift in perspective. And then it takes a lot of practice. And guess what? Where is all the practice done? Today's topic, all of the practice, all of the work is in a mirror. And I don't know about you, but there are not a lot of people rushing into the mirror to say, oh, it's me, which leads me to today's topic of difficult people, which I'll get into in a minute. Difficult people. But before I go on, let me do a little bit of housekeeping. I got that from Royce White. Housekeeping. Housekeeping meaning my YouTube channel, I just finished the ninth episode of my son and I doing the show. It's called Mother and Son, Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Comedic pause. Plus more. Mother and Son, Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Pause. Plus more. And it's a beginning, it's a start, but it's a same type of, it's reality, spirituality, spin-off. How's that? We talk about everyday challenges. Yesterday was identifying with the job. Thinking that this job is beneath me. Thinking that the title of, I don't know, CEO, entrepreneur, professor, doctor, whatever, all those titles, oh yeah, that's acceptable. That's something that I feel good about. But if I say I'm a janitor, or if I'm a secretary, I have that one bad, or I'm a secretary, or a dog catcher. Dog catcher. Are there any dog catchers anymore? Oh my God, I just dated myself. Well, everybody knows I'm 68. Dog catcher. Where the hell did that pop out from? Hotel maid service. All of these jobs that the program is, it's just not good enough. You follow me? So it is the programming. It is the programming that is causing the suffering. It is the thoughts. It's the stories about whatever job you have that is causing the suffering. All suffering comes from the ego's thoughts and stories and wanting you, because you are not your ego, you are separate from that, wanting you to identify, wanting you to identify. By the way, one of the things that my conversations with the universe, there's just a lot of things happening, a lot of things shifting, a lot of things moving. I'm connecting with people that are going to be assisting me getting this message out even to a bigger audience. But let me be very clear. I've been doing this show. I've been teaching classes for 15 years with the classes, The Truth About Happiness, in California, in Oregon, and now in Las Vegas. And when I started doing this, the radio show or the online show, I remember looking at the stats, and I shared this before. I remember looking at the stats. Gee, nobody's listening, universe. Zero people. One person is listening. It doesn't matter how many people are listening. It doesn't matter if millions of people listen or zero people listen. It's about sharing the truth. And there's an uprising of truth coming out. Shannon Sharp now has a podcast, Shay Shay, which, you know, if you ask me personally, don't ask me, because I'm still working on getting rid of judgments about people. And you know the interesting thing about judgments? All judgments start with self. All judgments start with self. And criticizing someone else, all it means is I'm criticizing myself. But back to this. So Cat Williams was on Shannon Sharp's show, supposedly spit out a lot of truth bombs. A lot of bombs went out. Now Monique, who is a very famous comedian, she was on. And I listened to, I don't do a lot of listening to podcasts for 2 hours, but what I am attracted to and always have been is the truth. Can we start telling the truth, please? Can we start saying that all of these things, these external things, mean absolutely nothing and will mean absolutely nothing in another 100 years? What is the biggest challenge? What is the biggest challenge in this world? Is it poverty? Is it global warming? Is it wars, pollution, animal rights? You see how loud I get? I'm a boot camp instructor. I get so, and now I'm boot camping with seniors, so can you imagine? These poor seniors. What was my point? Can you imagine if people started taking responsibility for their own feelings? Can you imagine a world that didn't blame someone else for how they're feeling? Can you imagine a world that knows you can't offend me with a symbol or a flag or a statue? Can you imagine that? All of it can happen. But it takes practice, and it takes one person to change. One person. I digress. Let me share with you my definition of happiness. The definition of happiness is, again, it's a vibration of contentment. It's an energy of satisfaction. It's an energy of balance. It's an energy of peace. My definition is happiness defined is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens. So it doesn't matter what comes in the mail. It doesn't matter what somebody announces to you on the telephone. It doesn't matter what happens. My favorite quote, which is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. That's from Abraham, from Esther Hicks. It's my favorite quote. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And this show is all about the journey and real life situations. Let's get into the topic, shall we? Unless a person has mental illness, I mean real mental illness, drug addicted, substance abuse, or mentally challenged, this topic pertains to anyone. There is no such thing as a difficult person. What? You heard me. There is no such thing as a difficult person. Let me be very clear. Oh, before I go on, to call in live and speak with me live, the number here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and just press the number 1, and you can ask the question, and or if you're on listen, you can always ask to join the show. But let's get back to the topic. Difficult people and why that is possible. And again, I'm talking about the mentally insane, mental health people. I'm not talking about people that are on drugs. I'm talking about everyday people that drive on the freeways. In fact, someone told me years ago, they said, it takes all types of people to drive on the freeway. And that's the other beauty. We are all as different as our fingerprints. But let's get back to these difficult people. I love to give you examples from my own life. And the reason for that is I'm practicing this stuff too. I haven't mastered anything. It is a lifelong practice. This desire and wanting to shift your energy level from a low level, you know, the levels of, and I'm using labels just to describe shame, guilt, anger, sadness, those lower energy levels, to acceptance, trust, surrendering, okay with uncertainty, open, no resistance, zero resistance, living in the moment. So where are you most of the time? And the practice is to be patient with yourself, because the more you practice, you know, like any other practice, the more you practice, number one, the easier it gets. Number two, it's just like learning how to ride a bicycle, or even more, how about this, a stick shift. I remember when my father taught me how to drive a stick shift. up the hill, down the hill, the jerks and whiplash. Oh, no. Happiness is a practice skill. And with this book that's coming out in less than 2 months, it's called Program for Unhappiness. I am up to 55, I added one, 55 program behaviors that are subtracting, that are constantly subtracting from your own happiness. And this is it. This difficult people, okay, let's see. I have one, two, nobody listens, and I don't think any of the difficult people, I'm doing air quotes here, the difficult people listen to the show. But even if they did, I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't say to anyone's face. One, two, three. Four. Now, what I have done in the past with these difficult people, air quotes, well, thank you, is to give distance. In other words, I'm not around them a lot. I'm not in their presence. I do not exchange text back and forth. I don't send emails. It's a distance thing. because the energy with these people, this here we go, this is an ego, this is a story, this is my ego telling the story. The energy with these people, I'm just not compatible with. I'm not compatible with complainers. I'm not compatible with negative people. I'm not compatible with people that are fear-based all the time. I'm not compatible with the programmed people. Well, guess what? What day is it? February the 11th. This week has been, ooh-wee. I feel like, felt like going through a car wash. You go, you know how cars go through car washes and they come out clean. I feel like I'm going through a human car wash. And the universe, this is my perspective, the universe is going through to every nook and cranny, every dark closet to shine a light. To shine a light on anything I need to excavate, anything I need to sweep out, anything I need to expose. And when I say I need to expose, I'm talking about universally. I'm not talking about my ego, because my ego thinks I'm pretty cool. My ego, and see, that's another trick. Here we go. I am very, I come across as this confident, truth-telling person. And yes, I am. But see, the ego can even, the ego is so tricky to leave me in that state. Well, look at Rebecca. And I'm not accomplished. And when I say accomplished, I'm talking about energetically accomplished. I'm not the same energetic person, human, I was a year ago or even a month ago. And then my ego likes to keep reminding me of what I can do better, what I should, or remind me of, how about, let's see, what am I trying to say? Remind me of, yeah, the same person triggers you. Okay, so here we go. So I said four people, and a word coming from these four people, if one person said the same word, I'm good. But if this one particular person said the word, I'm triggered. So but the examination keeps coming back to me. It keeps coming back to why I am allowing a word from someone I used to, here we go, used to tag, label difficult. Well, if I say anyone is difficult, guess what? It's my fault. Oh, I don't even mind saying it. It's my fault. If there is one difficult person out there that I can't have a conversation with and still remain peaceful, it's my fault. I just stomped my right foot. Of course, I'm standing on a pad, but yes, it's my fault. Why? How? Do you think the universe, and I use the term universe, some people say God, spirit, higher power, it doesn't matter what you call it, the all there is, whatever you call it, creator. Do you think that God has a problem with a person? Do you think God is triggered by anything? So the practice is to grow or expand and get to a higher level of consciousness where I'm not bothered. My ego isn't bothered. I'm not bothered. Now, my ego will always be bothered because the ego needs to be fed. And when I am bothered, when I am triggered, I'm feeding the ego. Why? Number one, I'm living in the past. All triggers, all buttons come from the past, come from judgments, come from stories. So number one, I'm living in the past. I'm not in the present moment. Whose practice, whose fault is that, that I'm not living in the moment, that I drag the past and all of the experiences I had with these four people. I said four of them. it's me. It's where's the growth, Rebecca? Rise above. Rise above who you were yesterday. You're telling me you can't hear a word from one of the four difficult people in my life and not get triggered? And you're a happiness specialist? Oh, you know I'm on it. Somebody, you know, wants to challenge me on that. I'm ready to do the work. And don't think that I haven't been practicing this for a year, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, these people are grandfathered in. These people are grandfathered in my life. I couldn't get rid of them if I tried. Don't think I haven't. And it's not with a conversation, and it's not with a story, and it's not with conditions. It's what I've done is distance. Yeah, I just won't talk to you for, you know, 6 months, or I won't connect with you for another year. Yeah, that was the whole, that's what I did. But now it's a new day. It's a new way, and it's a new day, and the universe has given me a new way. A new day for a new way. A new day for a new way. Beep, 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 beep. A new day for a new way. What? I had to put that on loop. This, the message is, whatever is happening or whoever is in your life that I said earlier, can't be mentally ill, mental challenges, no drug addicts, no alcoholics, none of that. I'm talking about regular people, meaning people that are functional. There's no such thing with somebody being difficult. It's only me not growing enough. It's only me not getting to another level of consciousness. It's me. So these four people, I'll just break them down one by one. I said they're grandfathered in. Always negative, always just digging. You know that one person that says something and they it's a joke, but it's really a stab. But it's a joke, but it's a stab. I used to do that. I would joke but at the same time I'd be stabbing them with the joke. Oh, that's funny, but I'm still trying to get a message across. That was not laced with love or acceptance. I could tell the difference. I know my agenda. You know your agenda. What is my intention here? Is my intention to jab someone and hurt you and expose their faults or what they need to do to grow or how they can improve their lives? Can you imagine? No. I'm the one that needs to shift. I'm the one that needs to change and grow, not them. My job is to accept without judgment. In fact, I said it before, the biggest gift you can give someone, especially those difficult people, is to accept them without judgment and watch the magic happen. Accept without judgment, and I'm talking about people that are, all they do is complain. Now, I'm not saying to stay in their presence for a long period of time, but there's no need to run away. There's no need to put distance because that's who they are. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. God can be in anyone's presence. And who am I? I am consciousness having a physical human experience. That's who I am. I'm elevated even more than that, Rebecca Lynn Norrington ego chick. More than that. And this is another practice. The more I think I know about these four people, you know, I talk about knowing your audience. Well, they're cheap, they're complainers. The glass is half empty. What else? Bossy. Just messy people that really love the mess or can't do anything about it, or it's just not their time. But you see all the stories that I have about a particular person? No. How about this? How about practicing, and I'm talking to myself here, or that ego, how about practicing living in the present moment? Because if I really am in the present moment, I'm not triggered by anything these people did. I'm not dragging who they were yesterday into today. But I was. The more I know, the more the ego says, I know who they are, I know how they would respond, the more I suffer. What? The more I know, or the more I think I know, the more I suffer. There is so much uncertainty. Every single moment is new and fresh and clean without anything from yesterday. These difficult people, I'm dragging in the past. I'm doing that. Question. So if I know that somebody loves to be right, just lives for being right. I used to live like that. Oh, and I was right about everything. Don't tell anyone. Living to be right. In fact, in the book Program for Unhappiness coming out in 2 months, one of the addictions is the need to be right. An addiction to being right, an addiction to complaining, an addiction to fear, an addiction to worry. Oh, and don't get me on this worry thing. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were talking about, well, I just worry about my family. Oh, you think that helps? That's not noble, worrying. There's an energy that you emit when you worry. And I've already said it, there's only two reasons why people worry. Number one, they're programmed, so it's not your fault. And the second thing is lack of trust. You either trust or you worry. But see, the ego is so good, it needs to be fed, it needs to survive. So it comes up with these stories that, yeah, I care, I worry, therefore that means I care. No, it doesn't. That's not the truth. Let me get back to these difficult people. Some people are labeled difficult because of how they act. Some people are labeled difficult because of the color of their skin. Some people are labeled a lot of things because of the color of their skin. And let me say this. I am so over the color of somebody's skin. It means nothing. Nothing. The color of your skin? I mean, can you imagine? It's like saying, well, how big is your kidney? Well, that was a terrible analogy, but I came up with one. It means nothing. But if you are so programmed to believe that it does mean something, guess what? You're going to believe it. Back to the difficult people. Labeling somebody difficult, put your seatbelts on this. Put your seatbelts on for this. You might need a crash helmet too and a hazmat suit. Labeling somebody difficult is your fault. How dare you? What? The nerve of that woman. Who did she? That's right. That's how powerful you are. It is your fault. Label someone difficult. So this week, the last few days, I've been circling back. Now, why wasn't I able to circle back a month ago, or 2 months ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago? Why wasn't I able to circle back with all of these difficult people and smooth everything out 2 years ago. I was still a happiness specialist then. It's only one reason. Because it wasn't time. It wasn't time. Things happen, manifest when it's time. It wasn't time for me to, for difficult people to just relax with it as opposed to resist and battle and judge and not accept and distance myself. Oh, you know, hey, I'm going to be around them. It works. But if there's still a pee under the mattress, I can feel it. And so can you. If there is a pee under the mattress, I know there's a pee. And I know that all these people, these difficult people, negative people, complainers, all these people, they are doing the best that they can. And so am I. Everyone is doing the best that they can when they are, scratch that, that was a bad sentence structure. Everyone is doing the best that they can, period. That includes me, that includes everybody else, with the information that they have, and it's part of their destiny. It's part of their own evolution. It's not my business. Their evolution is not my business. Actually, my own evolution is not my business. If I could find this amount of peace with these difficult people 5 years ago, you don't think I would have grabbed it? You don't think I would have wanted it? Hell yes. But thank you, universe, for dragging it on for another 5 years, and that's the other practice. Being patient with the process of your growth. I want it now. No. The baby is born when it's time. They say, oh, the baby's 2 weeks early. The baby came 2 weeks late. No, the baby came when it's time to be delivered, when it's time. Unless you have induced labor, that's something different. And even then, induced labor, that's time for that. It's time for induced labor. Everything happens when it's time to speeding up, slowing down. It's not time. I have to say that there is a sense of lightness. How's that? That's not a story. A sense of lightness, a sense of ease, a sense of relaxation that has just managed to surface with these four difficult people. And when I have been given an assignment, when the universe says, okay, Rebecca, go back in. Go back in. Not confront in a confrontational way, but confront what you are not practicing. Confront, go straight, you go straight into the light. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. You move straight into the light. And looking at the sun does hurt your eyes. But I'm telling you, one of the only ways that I know for freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from being a slave to the ego. The ego is discontented, is unsatisfied, needs more from the moment, needs these people to change so I will feel better. No. I already know none of the four are going to be changing. Scratch that. I don't know that. I haven't seen change in it. Oh, no, but you know what? No, I haven't seen change in any of the four typical people that have been grandfathered in. So guess what? I have to do the work. I mean, and doing the work You can't imagine. You can't buy. You can't buy contentment. You can't purchase peace. You can't. It happens. It happens when you remain open to all types of change and all types of growth, and you let the ego spin its stories, and you don't believe it. They don't root. Thank you for that story, ego, but it's not the truth. What I told my ego, I've been telling my ego to shut up for the last couple of weeks. The stories about these people and how they could be better and different. Well, my mother isn't alive, but an example. My mother's so negative. Really? No, you're so judgmental. Whoa! That's a baseball bat to the back of the head. No, your mother is negative. You're judgmental. Again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. These people are not the problem. These difficult people, it's not them. Just like the Seinfeld episode, it's me. And that's the good news. That's the great news. That's the only news. Can you imagine getting to a place getting to a place of total peace with these people that you've struggled with? Scratch the you. Let me get you out of there. That I've struggled with. I really don't like talking about other people and pointing the finger. I put everything on me. Getting to a point where difficult, even a word that they use, I just, oh, my head. Oh, just a word that they use. I have my hands over both my eyes right now. Whoa. Even the word that they use. The trigger, if it's a trigger, I've got homework. If it's a trigger, I've got practice. If my buttons are pushed, I have something to do. You will never be bored once you get on this journey of self-awareness and wanting and needing to be in that state of contentment more than anything else. Anything else. Numero uno, prioritize, commitment, contentment, that's it. Nothing else. Everything else is going to fall into place. All your activities, all your inspirations. But number one is contentment. Number one is vibration of peace. Number one is happiness. Number one. And that's how I live my life. That's how I've been living it for 45 years. And I have to say, what I discovered just this morning, because, you know, I tend to, okay, good job, Rebecca, good job, Rebecca. Oh, good, you sent an email with a lot of love to one of your difficult people, or you answered a phone call and you had a great conversation and there wasn't any rift and it was all smooth because you accepted them. Because you accepted them now, as opposed to not, you know what it means. You know what I'm talking about when you accept somebody and you don't. It's a totally different vibration. And now I'm accepting. So I do this. Yeah, good job, good job, good job. And guess what my ego does? My ego still likes to tell a story, even the good news stories. Here we go. Even the stories that feel good. The ego will stay on it, on it, on it. And what is that doing? It's keeping me out of the present moment. Even the feel-good stories, I'm not talking about not feeling good because of, scratch that, because the feelings have nothing to do with anything external. But I'm talking about what the ego does The only well, it's got a few jobs, but this one job is to keep me out of the present moment. It's to keep me in my head, keep me in the past, keep me in the future. The job of my ego is to keep me from living in the present moment. And to come up with stories, whether they're great stories, feel-good stories, or feel-bad stories. You get it? Feel-good stories or feel-bad stories. I'm not in the present moment. Rejoice quickly, recover quickly. Living in the present moment is the practice. Living in, staying in the present moment. It's not an easy practice. I don't have it mastered. Hell no. But the ego's job is to keep me in any other state. It is really an entity that needs attention, needs to say this, whatever this is, shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be experiencing A, B, C, D. Name it, fill in the blank. Everything that you are experiencing, it has a purpose. And it's my job and it's my responsibility to be accepting of all of it. I say, you're in a limousine. I know everybody's ridden in a limousine at least once, maybe not. I'm talking about prom, trying to remember, prom and weddings. Yes, back of a limousine, my dear audience. You're in the back of a limousine, hands behind your head, legs crossed, enjoying the ride. That's it. You're in the moment. You're going from this all, you're in a moment of having a journey from here to all the way to over there. Can you start enjoying all of the things that you see along the journey, all of the experiences? Can you enjoy looking out the window and embracing all of it, including those moments where the ego says, this is unwanted? Oh, I have a whole chapter in that book, Program for Unhappiness, about unwanted moments. No, those unwanted moments are the moments that I want. Give me whatever you and quite frankly, I don't have to ask. I don't have to pray for anything. Pray for something? No, I don't need to pray. The universe is going to give me everything I need. In fact, you have everything you need in any moment. There's no need to pray for it, to make a goal about it. No. There's nothing to want. There's nothing to desire. There's only what to experience. If I'm desiring, guess what? I'm not feeling, my energy isn't out of satisfaction, is it? You either are vibrating in an energy of satisfaction or dissatisfaction, period. Are you satisfied or are you dissatisfied? You can feel it. And so the practice is, when I say happiness is a practice skill, what great news that is. Happiness is a practice skill. So practice maintaining that energy of satisfaction in all moments. That doesn't mean you sit down and you do nothing. Oh, I get so much feedback. Well, you don't do anything. You just sit there. You're just being. Oh, being. What is that going to do? Just be. What is that going to do? You will be inspired to do something else other than be. Trust that. Surrender. Let go of thinking you have to make anything happen, quite frankly, because you ain't doing anything. Like, oh, did she say that? Oh, the ego wants to believe it's making shit happen. Oh, yes, I'm working hard and making it happen. Well, I'll tell you this. If God doesn't sign off on whatever you think you made happen, it ain't happening. Did that even make sense? Of course it did. Before I sign off, again, if anyone wants to call in and speak with me live or ask a question, the number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And or if you're on Wisdom, ask to join. Guess what's coming up on Wednesday? Can we start? Can we have a little brief conversation about the obligation, the program obligation of holidays? I know we just got over the Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas, but here we go. Wednesday is one of the biggest holidays that produces the biggest energy of obligation. Do you think so? Feeling obligated or having an energy of obligation, and I'm not talking about for if you have older people that you're taking care of or youngsters. I'm talking about adults being obligated. If you're a man, you're obligated to do something on Valentine's Day for your girlfriend or your wife. Or the woman is obligated. This whole obligation thing, what a racket. Herd animals. Just, yes, this is the day we on Valentine's Day. This is the day that we have to Valentine, have to go to lunch, have to go to dinner, have to buy Valentine's Day presents. Huh? I have that. Oh, my goodness. When I was dating and my boyfriend or boyfriends at the time didn't make my Valentine's Day spectacular, with the flowers, no candy, flowers and the dinner, oh, and the new outfit, oh, and Valentine's Day. In fact, one of my connections posted, and, you know, these youngsters, when I say youngsters, the 20s and the 30s, well, I guess I'll be alone on Valentine's Day again. Another Valentine's Day alone. And then I think now is it Valentine? There is a group of women what is it called? Valentine's. I know there's a little saying. Galentine's? Did I just make that up? What is all of this pressure to perform to, yes, this is what we do on February 14th. On February 14th. Everybody has to do the same thing, and if not, I'm telling you, if my husband or my ex-husband or my boyfriend or whoever I was hanging out with didn't shower me with Valentine's Day paraphernalia, I'll never forget. I was on the phone with, in fact, one of the four difficult people that I mentioned. Okay, now you know it's a male. I'll never forget. I said, you ruined my Valentine's Day. You ruined it. Can you, putting all of the responsibility on someone else so that I will feel good, it is just not the truth. Don't think I just popped out being deprogrammed. No, I was programmed like everybody else. But this if you claim to love someone, you claim to love them and you really do, why are you obligating them to do anything for you? And I'm going to extend that to, I only have one son. And it took a long time to come. It took a while. But he is not, he knows he's not obligated to call me on Mother's Day. He's not obligated to call me on my birthday. He's not obligated to visit me. He's not obligated to text me. In fact, when we do talk, I told the story a lot. Sometimes we had a long conversation, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. And I forget to tell, we hang up the phone. We talk for 20 minutes and we hang up the phone. And I say, oh, crap, I wanted to say one more thing. It's happened to me so many times. It's just part of the relationship. I call him back, and guess what this little piece of crap does? He doesn't answer the phone. I was just on the phone with him 2 seconds ago. He doesn't answer. I love that. I love that he doesn't feel obligated to have to answer the phone because his mother is calling. No. No obligation. Even, I'm telling you this, I don't even want him to feel scratched out. He's going to feel whatever he does or does. But if there is a point that I get to that I'm now we're getting into a whole can of worms, but I need assistance, maybe medical assistance. Maybe I'm in an assisted living home and I can't walk and I'm in a diaper. I don't even want him obligated then. If he's inspired to come and hang out with me or take care of me, great. But I don't want anybody that I love to feel an obligation, because you know what? If they feel an obligation, and this may be a story, but this is what I want to share. If they feel an obligation, because I know some people that have been obligated to their mother for all of their life, and they weren't free until she died. And if I don't want anybody that I know to feel a sense of relief when I go, because I obligated them or I guilted them into, you know, he's going to be upset if you don't call or if you don't come on Thanksgiving, if you don't come over on Thanksgiving and have dinner, they're going to be upset. You're obligating anyone to do anything for you? It's a big difference in energy. Obligation as opposed to inspiration. And quite frankly, do what you need to do for yourself. If you think that you're going to get any kind of satisfaction, happiness from someone else, do what you need to do for yourself. Valentine's Day, celebrate it or not, obligate other people. And I know it's a program, it's a whole program of obligation. Let's see, where was I? I'm just looking over my notes. Okay, I said difficult person. You are the problem, not the difficult person. I'm so mean. I'm so. And can't she deliver the message a little bit softer? Apparently not. I'm an ex-boot camp instructor. I deliver the message with a bam. And I've accepted that people either like it. It's just like Don Rickles. You either love him, and for you youngsters, you either loved him or you didn't. Judge Judy, you either like her, you're entertained her. You either are entertained by her or you're not. And I'm good with it. I'm good with all of it. It's a practice. Happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills. Is there anyone that wants to come up on wisdom? Let me know. You got 10. You got 9. You got 8. You got 7. You got 6. Bam, you got 5. I hope I can remember. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Guess what? In the new studio and having better sound, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen within a month. And the universe, by design, everything happens when it's time. Oh, it should have been 2 years ago we're back. You should have had better equipment years ago. No. Everything is falling into place exactly when it's time. Okay, I want to share this last story. This happened yesterday. True story. And if you go to my YouTube channel, my son and I are starting. It's a podcast. It's called Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Yesterday was episode 9. And I shared this with my son, and I want to tell you too. You don't have to listen to the podcast. It's about 40 minutes. Yeah, 40 minutes. Where are my notes? Oh no. Oh, where is it? Okay, hold on. I have to look. Is it? I'm going to walk over here. Okay, where is it? Is it over here? No. Where did I put those notes? Should I give it a little? No. This is going to be a good one, too. I can't believe I... Where did I put them? Not everything was on the table. Everything was not on the table. Ah, okay, let me walk around. I'm walking around. I have to be somewhere. Okay, thank you for your patience. So let me just set it up. set it up. Oh, gee whiz. Okay, and I wanted the exact note, but for some reason, the universe is not letting me find it quickly. Okay, here's the story. This is the story. On, what is today? Friday night, that's right. Friday night, I thought I was having a heart attack. And if you know me, I'm not one to be an alarmist. I'm not one to worry. I'm not one that is... That any medical condition I am bothered by it. But my heart was I was feeling a little pressure around my heart. I was feeling a little bit of pressure, and then I just broke out in this cold sweat. And it's cold. I keep everything cold. I mean, the lowest temperature here is 58 degrees. I keep everything cold. And I started sweating, and I said, what the hell is going on? A little pressure in the chest, started perspiring. I said, okay, let me Google the signs of a heart attack. And I have to say that when I was Googling the signs of a heart attack, I was as calm as you're listening to me now. There wasn't not 1 ounce of worry, stress. It was just, oh, let me just look up the signs of having a heart attack. Let me just see what it says. And sure enough, it said, let me go for this one more time. Oh, I know where I put it. I know where it is. I put it away. Okay, I'm going to go get it right now. I'm going to walk into the other room. So I Googled the signs of a heart attack. Hold on a second. Let me get this. You know why I put it away? Because I'm going to leave it for my son. After I kick the bucket, he's going to find it. Even though I already read it to him yesterday. Okay, so I'm Googling signs of a heart attack. And sure enough, one of them said sway. Clammy. And I'm sitting in as opposed to do. If you're alone, which I was, if you're alone, sit down and rest your back against the wall, which I did. Sat down. And I was just sitting there and thinking, okay, if this is it, me, I'm 68. And I said, well, I want to leave a note for my son. I only have one. And I got up, and I dated it. And I said, and if you know me, I'm right to the point. I mean, there's no fluff. Having this, and I'm reading it exactly. I said, having chest pains, if this is it, I'm happy. The book is complete. My program for unhappiness, the only thing is a small edit. The book is complete. I love you, Nathan. Have fun. Laugh a lot. Love yourself. Accept yourself. Stay open. I'm always with you. I will always be with you. And then off to the side, I said, laugh at every goddamn thing. And that's what I left for him. And then I left for my best friend. I love you forever. Take care of Nathan and Sydney. That's his, Nathan and Sydney. And that was it. And I went back, laid down, just rested. Okay, whatever. And that was the first time, that was the only time I was really surprised that, scratched that, I was surprised, but I was witnessing how calm my energy was, how accepting the energy was. Well, obviously, I didn't have a heart attack. But that is the level, that's the level where I am right now. Whatever your will is, universe, is my will. Whatever is, whatever you want is what I want. I'm good. I'm good with anything that is going to happen and anything that is not going to happen. And that's another program behavior that subtracts from your happiness, is putting this energy of this is serious and this is important. That energy of this is serious, this is important, it's another program. So that's my story of my near-death experience, which wasn't really near-death, apparently, because I'm here. But my son was really blown away by the note, and I'm sharing just because that maybe there's another perspective you can use. Who knows? Thank you. This has been a lovely, lovely, lovely hour with you. At the end of today's show, thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality, which is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. And guess what, audience? Guess what, my dear audience? Soon, very soon, you'll be able to see me. You'll be able to see me when I'm talking as opposed to just listening to me. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, yay, getting some more YouTube videos up. Again, the mother and son making sense out of nonsense, plus more is there. It's going to be episode 9 on Saturday. So we go live every Saturday morning at 9:15 Pacific time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And the book that's going to be coming out in 2 months, very soon, before summer for sure, is Program for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always vibrating, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Accepting yourself in every moment, accepting the journey in every moment. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, RLN. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace, the more contentment you will experience in every single moment. Living in the present moment, self-awareness, what you practice is going to be what you experience. Have a great, great week. Have a conscious week. Later.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Get down,
bring up, get to spirituality.
good now.